As we go through this lesson, we're going to study the rich man Lazarus. I want you to think on, not only think on this lesson, but the one that Tim just gave, because they're going to kind of overlap just a little bit. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to be looking through a lot of verses in Luke, but, begin with the story of the rich man Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, beginning there in verse 19. It said, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Question I want to ask you about this rich man, do you think he ever noticed Lazarus? I mean, he noticed him whenever he was in Abraham's bosom, so you think that he at least saw him at one point in time or another. So we're going to go with that. Now, we're not given a whole lot of information on the rich man other than the fact that he was rich and that he didn't help Lazarus. I know people that have oodles and gobs of money, and they are very good people. It doesn't say anything about this rich man being bad. It doesn't say about him how he got his money. He just said that he was a rich man. We're going to throw a couple of different scenarios in there to try to describe this rich man. There's something that might fit and some that might not. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in our own lives and in our own stuff, and we can't see the world that is around us. You know, I especially have a problem with that because I do not work in the world. I work on a cattle ranch with one other person. So my worldly influence aren't just a whole awful lot. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse number 15 to 21. And then Jesus Christ speaking, he said, And take heed unto them. It says, Take heed and beware of covetous, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Now this man had the opportunity to use his wealth wisely. You know, instead he hoarded it. He kept it all for himself. You know, wealth in and of itself is not wrong. We have the opportunities most every day to help others that are in need. I different people, and I don't know how good or they are, but different people call our house all the time wanting money. I like to give to the Purple Heart Foundation. I know some of the good things that they do, but I'm sure y'all's phone rings a lot too with people wanting money. You know, they want different things. And as Christians, I mean, I know me for myself, I have too much stuff in my life. I think my life would be easier if I didn't have as much stuff. Think about the things that you have and how much easier life would be if we just didn't have quite so much and we just took that extra stuff and just gave it away. You know, covetousness is something that can blind us. I mean, I want a kayak. I've been wanting a kayak for the past several months, and mainly because I like to fish. And, you know, Bronwyn told me, she goes, you know, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, you know, teaching him to feed fish and he'll feed himself. My philosophy is, you know, teach a man to fish and he's going to blow all of his money at Bass Pro or Cabela's, one of the two. You know, that's the type of brain that I have. But think on the wealth that you have. And, you know, we're told that we should be happy with food and raiment. And then what is everything else that we have then? We see in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, that, you know, having money is not a sin, but the love of money is. Philippians chapter 2, and verse number 3-5 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man of his own things, but every man also of the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, this right here would have served the rich man probably very well if he would have thought on Lazarus and saw him. And, I mean, he's dressed in purple. I tried to do a little bit of research on purple, and I still haven't gotten very far with it. I don't know if it was the cost to dye the clothing in purple. I know it was a sign of royalty back in the Old Testament, but I'm not sure exactly where that came from. But he was dressed in purple, which means that he was very well-to-do. He had plenty of money to help Lazarus. And since he knew this man, or at least could tell that that was him in Abram's bosom from afar off, he knew what Lazarus looked like. And so that means he probably saw him more than once, probably on a day-to-day basis. He had plenty of opportunities to help this man. Luke chapter 18, verse number 18 through 25 It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these I've kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, our love of money and possessions can keep us from doing a lot of things. But at the same time, it can drive us to do a lot of things too. Things that are not so much helpful for our soul. You know, it's kind of ironic when you think about wealth. You know, I thank God for the things that I have. You know, I have a house of solitude. I don't live next to anybody, which kind of gives me a sense of peace and comfort, I guess, from the way I lived before. So I thank God for that. I thank him for the wealth that I have, not necessarily for my family, but how I've been blessed. But you think on those things, and those things can be the exact same thing that curses. They could condemn our soul to hell. Now, I think it's kind of odd that I would thank God for them things, but at the same time, you know, it could be the same thing that keeps me from getting into heaven. You know, just about everybody in here works for a living. If you're lucky enough to survive that long and get to retire, I'm not looking forward to retirement because I don't know what I'm going to do. But we work. We work day in and day out, and for what? We each have clothes on our back. You know, got through eating. Those were the only two things that we should have one of. You know, food and raiment. That was it. That was all that was mentioned. You know, I've listened to another, Marlon Cole gave a good lesson, on a topic very similar to this one. And he likes to throw in shelter too, but it doesn't even mention shelter. Something to think about. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25, going through verse 37, says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him and his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said, Take him, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said that he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Verse 33 said he had compassion on him. Brother Tim talked about compassion this morning. I have a tendency to be like the priest. I'll be real honest with you. I work on a cattle ranch. It's not easy work. I come home at the end of the day and I'm tired. Most of us here are when we get home. You worked all day in the Texas heat. You're tired. You go to Amarillo, get along I-40 in Western maybe. You see a homeless guy standing on the side of the road wanting money from you. You want to know what the first thing that I think about that homeless man, that guy says, you know, want money, want food, thinking, why don't you go to the hayfield with me and haul hay all day, haul a couple of thousand bales to Kansas, and I'll give you some money. That's what I think about that person. I'm willing to work for my money. You think you're just going to get it for free? I judge them. I don't have compassion on them. See some guy over there, he's kind of itching a little bit, you know, I'm thinking, well, he's strung out on meth or some other drug. Do I need to have compassion on him? I judge people. And after Tim's lesson, if I could have stooped a little bit lower in that seat, I probably would have. The Good Samaritan, he didn't ask any questions. He looked at him, he picked him up, and he took him to an inn. Now there's two homeless guy, two men standing there on the corner, and both of them want money or food from you. One of them worked hard most of his life. He invested his money in the stock market, all of his money in the stock market. Stock market crash, he doesn't have any money, doesn't have anything. Bank repossesses everything that he owns, so he's sitting there asking for money. The guy next to him spent all his money on drugs. You know, the first man was wanting to feel real wealthy. The other man wasn't wanting to feel at all. Which one of the two should we have compassion on? You know, the funny thing is, you can't tell the two apart. They both threw their money away. Good Samaritan didn't ask any questions. He just did what needed to be done to help this man. Maybe the rich man, I don't know, maybe he was thinking the same thing I was. You know, why doesn't Lazarus do something? You know, every day he's at my doorstep laying there. The dogs are over there licking on him. Why doesn't he get up and do something? Yeah, I understand he has sores, but still, you know, he could find work doing something, weaving baskets, helping the fishermen. He could do something. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul speaks of charity. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Every once in a while, if I got a little bit of money in my wallet, I'll throw it to the guy that's on I-40 in Western or wherever he is in Amarillo. That's about the only place I see him. There might be some there closer by, but those are the ones that I know of. If I have a little bit of cash in my wallet, I'll give it to him. But it's not out of charity. Maybe out of pity a little bit. You know, this charity that it's talking about here is talking about love. I have absolutely no love for that man that I just gave money to. It's just so whenever he looks at me, I can say, yeah, I'm the one that gave you money, okay? You go your way, and I'll go mine. I ask you, how many opportunities have you been given, or do you have, that you could do something? You know, to be real honest with you, I'm not a rich man, but I could definitely fill the shoes of the rich man in this parable and the story. It wouldn't be very hard. Do you seize opportunities whenever they are given to you? Luke 16:29 says, but Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now this is the part of the story that you get a little bit of from. You have the rich man in torment, and he first asked to be comforted from Lazarus, and it's too late. There's no more comforting there. I mean, it's too late for him, we'll be real honest with you. He said, then send Lazarus to my brother's house. Help them. He said, they won't listen to him. They have Moses and the prophets. See, Abraham is telling him what his brothers need. You need Moses and the prophets. You know, today we have more than Moses and the prophets. We have the Word of God, we have the gospel. What we need for salvation. But like Paul said, without charity, I am nothing. You know, he said, I have the faith to move mountains, but if I do not have charity, I have nothing. We're given many opportunities to help people. The extent of our gratitude, the extent of our charity and compassion on those, I don't know where it stops. I know there are a whole lot of people out there that are less fortunate than I am. Do we stop at food and raiment? Or do you stop whenever you can't love them anymore? Because that's what it is. That's what compassion is. It's love. Charity, it's love. Love thy neighbor as thyself, he told the one scholar.